If you have the Word of God with you this evening, if you'll be turning to the book of Genesis, chapter number 22. Every day we all express faith in many ways. I guess the best illustration I can give of that, if you take a prescription that's been prescribed by a doctor, that's an illustration of faith. So how do you know that? Well, we trust the doctor knows what he is prescribing. He understands that. We trust the pharmacist is capable and smart enough to put that together, to make that drug. And we trust the pharmacist is actually able to read the doctor's writing. Every time you take a prescription, that's an exercise of faith. When you came in this building tonight, you sat on those pews as an exercise of faith. I didn't see anybody crawl up under those to make sure we hadn't removed the screws and nails out of those pews. You sat down and didn't give it a second thought. It's an exercise of faith. And most of us as Christians don't mind following God's commands when the things are going our way, but when things become a little difficult, then that's when we begin to waver and stammer at the leading of the Lord in our life. Now, Abraham was a man with profound faith. Now, I did not say he was a man with perfect faith, but he was a man with profound faith. As a matter of fact, over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, the Bible said in verse number 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The truth is, Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, and by the way, that's the modern-day Iraq. That's where he left, and he believed God on this very single instance of faith. And Abraham believed God, and when he didn't know where he was going to go, he didn't know how he was going to go, he didn't know when he would get to wherever it was he was going to go. All he knew and all he was trusting or basing his response on was the Word of God. I said this morning, if we doubt God's word, we'll not see God's work. If we doubt God's word, we'll not see God work. And we see here in this passage that Abraham, again, was a man of faith. But we're going to look in this in our text tonight, and we're going to see a supreme test of Abraham's faith. God is requiring him to show, in the text we're going to consider this evening, absolute trust and dependence upon God. I said this morning, it's easy to preach about faith, but it's another thing altogether to practice it. It's another thing altogether to practice it. And we're going to ask the Lord to help us this evening, learn the things that certainly we need to learn. And I'm glad the Lord brings us to places that he does. And you say, why does he do that? To teach us to be more dependent upon him. To teach us that he's God, and without him we cease to exist. And we see here in this passage this evening a great illustration of that. And we're going to pray and ask the Lord to teach us these things this evening. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your many blessings. I thank you tonight for the Word of God, knowing that the Word of God is settled in heaven forever. And so, Lord, I pray that as we have an opportunity to hear from your Word, that we might open our hearts and minds to the truths that you have for us. And, Lord, may we not just listen this evening. May we not just hear, but, Lord, help us to heed. I pray this evening that every need that's presented in this room this evening that you would meet. Lord, help us to, again, recognize you have a purpose in permitting us to be here. And Lord, may we allow you to fulfill that purpose in our heart and life this evening. Lord, I pray for your guidance and direction, recognizing my inability and feebleness. Lord, I understand that I'm nothing without you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd pick up this worthless instrument and use it for your honor and glory. Lord, I pray that you might be honored and pleased and glorified in all that's said and done. And again, I pray that you would teach us thoroughly the things that we need to know. Help us to be teachable. And we'll thank you for that which will be accomplished in and through this time together. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I want to draw from this three things. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 here of chapter 22. And we're going to read down through verse number 14. Notice, if you would, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I, or here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What an amazing story that is. And I want us to, again, look at some things out of this. I draw three things from it. First, I want us to recognize or see the request that was given by the Lord. The request from the Lord. We read that there in verses 1 and 2. God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. What an amazing test this is. Again, as we've said many times and just said a moment ago, Abraham was a man with profound faith. He was not a man of perfect faith, but he was a man with profound faith. And so now God is going to put on display and test that faith of Abraham. I said this morning, and I've already said it again tonight, it was almost as if when I was preparing these messages, the Lord was saying to me, okay, you want to preach that, you better be prepared to practice that. And it's one thing to preach messages on faith. It is quite another to practice that in everyday life. And we're going to see some things here from this request that the Lord gave to Abraham. First of all, it was a call to a test, or a call to testing. Again, there in verse number 1, this was an evaluation of his soul's commitment. You know, I often wonder what it takes to stop some people. Often wonder what it takes for some folks just to wave the white flag and say, you know, enough's enough. I'm quitting. I'm giving up. This is not for me. But this was a test or an evaluation, really, of his soul's commitment. And I'm going to make some statements tonight. I hope you'll write some of these down. But true faith goes into operation when there are no answers. True faith goes into operation when there are no answers. And God doesn't tempt us or try us so that we might sin. He tempts us to bring us unto himself. That's the purpose behind this trial, this trying in the life of Abraham. It wasn't so that Abraham would get discouraged with God. It wasn't so that Abraham would quit that life that he had lived up to this point. It wasn't so that Abraham could grow bitter. The purpose of this trial, the purpose of this trying of his faith, was to bring Abraham unto himself. And God asked asked for something that's very dear to the heart of Abraham. He asked him for his son. And it's interesting the wording there that the Lord used. He said, thy son, thy only son. It's the same wording that was used for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy son, thine only son. God asked for his only son. You say, well, he had another son. Well, Ishmael at that time had already been sent away. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7, the Bible says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord, or at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want to say this evening, faith that has not been tried is faith that cannot be tested. Or trusted, rather. Faith that has not been tried is faith that cannot be trusted. We find here the trying of Abraham's faith. Again, it was not so that Abraham would get discouraged and dismayed and disgruntled with God. It was so that Abraham could be brought closer to God. I've said many times, often difficulties in our lives do one of two things. Trials and tribulations often do one of two things. It either drives us away or it draws us to him. May I say tonight, when we find ourselves in that testing water, in those testing waters, don't allow those to drive us away. Allow it to draw us unto the Lord. We see that this was a call to testing. It was also a call to service and sacrifice. Again, the Bible said there in verse number 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. He asked Abraham to sacrifice all that is dear to him. Keep in mind, this was the promised seed. Over in Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, the Bible said, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. This young man was the future of Israel. This was the promised seed that God had promised Abraham. This was not only the promised seed, this was the promised son. God had miraculously provided a son for Abraham. Keep in mind, when this young man was born, Abraham and Sarah both were well beyond the years of bearing children. God, again, proving himself that nothing's impossible for him. And in later years, older years, God provided a son to Abraham. Notice, if you would, over in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. It was a miraculous thing that God had brought about the birth of this young man. And so we see, not only was it the promised seed and the promised son, but Isaac was the promised son in Abraham's old age. And someone once said this. I thought this was kind of humorous. You know you're getting old when you hear snap, crackle, and pop, and it isn't your cereal. You know you're getting a little older when you hear snap, crackle, and pop, and it's not your cereal. Abraham was getting older. He was getting up in years, and Abraham's commanded to go to Mount Moriah, about a three-day journey away, and offer up that promised seed and that promised son, that young man who he loved dearly. That brings me to the second thing I see here, not only the request from the Lord, but I see the response of obedience. The response of obedience. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3 again. The Bible says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, 'Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you.' Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here am I, my son.' And he said, 'Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering.' So they went both of them together." I see here, first of all, an immediate obedience. An immediate response or an immediate obedience. There was no hesitation on the part of Abraham. He acted in complete and obedient faith. The Bible said the next day he got up early. There was no hesitation. He believed God. If God told him that he was going to be the father of many nations or the father of that nation and that God was going to multiply his seed many times over, if it wasn't going to be through this young man, then I believe Abraham thought there'd be another boy in the future. Abraham didn't hesitate. He acted immediately. The Bible tells us over in Romans chapter 1 in verse number 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." What a great picture we have here of faith in God. You see, the truth of the matter is, when we hesitate to obey, we question the faithfulness of God. When we hesitate to obey, we question the faithfulness of God. You see, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There's no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. And the calmness here which Abraham expressed was due to his total confidence and his total trust in God. Notice again what he said in verse number 5. "And Abraham said unto his young men, 'Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you.'" I don't see any wavering there. He had complete confidence in God. He was totally certain that God would take care of the situation. And he says to those young men who are traveling with his Abraham and his son, he says to them, "We're going to go yonder and worship, but we're coming back." What a tremendous testimony. What a great example of faith. God had promised that it was through Isaac's seed that Abraham's people would proceed, and Abraham took God at his word. As I said a moment ago, we hesitate often because we doubt God's word. And as I said this morning, if we doubt God's word, we'll not see God work. I was reading a story this week about D.L. Moody. Some of you may be familiar with that name. If not, you ought to read some material from and about D.L. Moody. He was a great preacher. But he said this. He said, "I prayed for faith and it did not come." Really? He said, "I prayed for faith and it did not come, but when I read the word of God, then faith came." You cannot separate those two. You cannot separate faith and the word of God. How does our faith increase? I hear people say occasionally, I need stronger faith and I want my faith to increase. How's it going to happen? Right here. Right here is where it's going to happen. Through the word of God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17, 18, and 19, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that Isaac in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You know, I believe Abraham was so confident in God that he believed if he stabbed that boy through the heart and burnt that young man, God would raise him from the dead. Does that describe our faith? I've said the messages this week have certainly brought conviction to my heart. I said when I was preparing this, oh ye of little faith. I believe Abraham believed God. And even if he'd plunged the knife into the chest of that young man and set that wood on fire and his body was consumed with that fire, I believe Abraham was so confident God would meant what he said that God would raise that young man up out of the ashes. Isaac was totally innocent in all this as well. Isaac carried the wood. I believe that's a picture of Christ. He carried that wood. The Bible tells us over in John chapter 19, verse number 17, and he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. You see the picture and the similarities? Isaac, again, was in total, he was totally innocent in all this. Here's the wood. He asked his dad, but where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And I don't believe Abraham was dishonest in saying to that young man, God will provide himself a lamb. I believe he was in complete assurance that God would supply the need. And if God didn't, again, I believe Abraham believed that he could raise that young man out of the ashes. You see, the life that follows God first is a life of faith. And faith in God makes great optimists. Amen. You need to remember that. Faith in God makes great optimists. You may have heard of this missionary. His name was Adoniah Judson. He was placed in prison over in Burma. He had chained to his ankles a 32-pound chain, and his feet were bound to a bamboo pole. And one of the fellow prisoners said, Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen? With a sneer on his face. And his instant reply was this: the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. What great faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of the things which do appear. And then it continues in verse number 6 of that same chapter. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I said this morning, James could never be accused of soft peddling the word of God. But certainly this cannot be labeled either the same way. The writer says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. We've seen this evening the request from the Lord. We've seen, secondly, the response of obedience. I want you to notice, thirdly, the results of faith. The results of faith. In verses 9 through 14, read along again with me, if you will. The Bible said, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of the heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now we see here the results of Abraham's faith. We see that Abraham now prepares this sacrifice. He's here at the moral elevation of his trial. By the way, there's going to be a point in time that we're brought to this place. We're going to be brought to this place which will determine the seriousness of our faith in God. Ever been there? Well, we've been here a lot. I could write a book on the things the Lord has done through this church. I remember one time, and I don't say a lot about finances and money. I figure if the Lord can't speak to your heart, me telling you is not going to make much difference either. Amen. I'm just soon for the things to happen for the Lord to get credit than for me to say a lot of things about it and prod you to do things. But I remember one time we had a bill that was due here at this church. By the way, we still have bills due at this church. We never seem to get beyond that. But we had a rather large bill due at this church. We didn't know how he was going to pay it. It's for the insurance for this building. We didn't know how he was going to pay it. All of a sudden, there was a storm that started blowing around. There was a wind that come ripping up this mountainside and blew off several shingles. We called the insurance company, who we owed the bill to. They sent us a check for the damage done, and we sent it back to them to pay the premium. Storms don't bother me anymore. They don't bother me anymore. By the way, we had enough left over from what they sent us to fix the building. There's several things I could say like that. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me. Or as Miss Cooper said this morning, it thrills my heart. Never ceases to amaze me. It thrills my heart. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know God does it. And again, I would just soon not get in the way of it. And somebody said, well, don't you preach on money? Very little. I don't say a lot about it. Again, I figure if the Holy Spirit can't get your attention, I can't. And if I did, it wouldn't last long. Amen. I'm beginning to learn a few things that God don't need me to get in the way. He needs me to get out of the way and let him do what he wants to do. But he's preparing this sacrifice, and he's brought to this moral elevation in his trial. The truth that I would like for us to consider this evening, the question I would pose for us to consider tonight, are we willing to serve and honor the Lord with our best? Are we willing? I've got two children. I don't know if I would be able to do what Abraham did. Just to be honest with you, I don't think I would. If God were to speak to me, and I'm glad God doesn't really do things this way now, but if God was to say, I want you to take your son and sacrifice him, I don't know if I'd do that. I'm just being honest with you. I don't know that my faith's that strong. I love both my children. But Abraham comes to that point of decision. And by the way, God will bring all of us to that point. He'll bring us all to that point where we must decide, is it me or is it him? Is it me? Or is it him? I want you to note here that Isaac, again, I've already mentioned this, Isaac's a picture of Christ. He willingly laid down on the altar. We don't find anywhere that Isaac began to run. He had to eventually find out what's about to happen. He's been bound and laid on an altar. We don't find him questioning Abraham. And again, I've been preaching some or teaching some in Sunday school on the family. That's a great example for fathers. For the children to have so much confidence in their father that they are confident that their father is in communication with God, that they trust that God's led in that situation. He didn't question it. I see in my mind's eye, this young lad, this young boy, he's bound up, he's laid on this altar. We don't read anywhere that he questioned anything that's happening. There seems to be no objection at all. As you read there in verse number 9, the Bible said he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. May I say this evening, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, but made himself of no reputation, referring to the Lord, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the picture we have here. And there's so much that I could draw from this, and I don't want to get sidetracked, but it's amazing to me, this ram's caught in the thicket, and that's the thorn, represents the thorn they placed on our Savior's brow. A picture of that. But I want us to see here, first of all, Abraham prepares the sacrifice, but I also want us to see that God provides a replacement. God provides a replacement. Now, I want you to notice something here when we think about this replacement. It didn't come any time too soon. They didn't find that ram walking up that mountain. It wasn't until Abraham had his arm drawn that the Lord stepped in. Now, all of us hate waiting until the last minute. Now, let's be honest about it. I mean, it drives us crazy. Waiting to the very last second before what we think is going to be devastation, God says, hey, wait a minute. Now I know. It's not you, it's me. God provided here a replacement. And by God preserving Isaac, he preserved the whole nation of Israel. Isaac was spared and a ram was caught in the thicket and was offered in his place for the offering. And Abraham showed himself to be willing to give the most precious possession for God. Even so, God was willing to give his only begotten son for us. And God was well pleased with Abraham's faith. And God promised to bless Abraham. Notice, if you would, in verses 15, 16, and 17. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. Well, that first time, I'm sure Abraham was wiping his brow. Whew. Man, that was close. The angel of the Lord called out of heaven a second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because... And by the way, notice who's speaking here. It's not an angel, it's the Lord. He said, I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Man, what a blessing. I don't know what was going through the mind of Abraham when God said, now I want you to offer that son as a sacrifice. I'm assuming he's just like us today. And no doubt there was some questions in his mind as to why. We don't know, and I don't want to do the text any injustice. We don't know what was going through his mind, but certainly I know what would be in his heart. It would be heaviness. He straps that boy to that altar. He has the knife pulled back. And just at the last second, God said, wait a minute. I've seen your faith. Do the boy no harm. And he looks up. There's a ram over here. Just at the right time. Got his head hung up in some briars. What's the chances of that happening? I've seen that happen one time, and it wasn't a ram, it was a deer, and he actually got his horns hung up in barbed wire. Not very often does that happen. He looked over and he sees this ram who's caught in a thicket. He's got his horns all wrapped up. God provided himself a lamb. A few hundred years later, God provided himself as the lamb. I hope you'll remember this quote. God's much more likely to reward our obedience with an explanation than he is to give an explanation to encourage us to obedience. Write that down and remember it. God is much more likely to reward our obedience with an explanation than he is to give an explanation to encourage our obedience. You see, the truth of the matter is, if we love the Lord like we do, or like we should, we don't need the explanation. We just need to obey. But isn't it amazing, after all said and done, it's almost as if God says to our heart, here's why I did that. We were talking today after the service, and I said this morning, this has been a trying week for me. I don't have them very often, and I'm very grateful. And Miss Cooper said, well, maybe it was because the Lord knew that somebody was going to be here today that needed that. I don't know. I know God's faithful. I don't know why he brings us to the place or to the mountain, Mount Moriah. But I know this, it's to prove himself faithful. It's to prove himself faithful. God has provided the lamb for us. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, John speaking here, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. This week marks the anniversary of that tragic event that took place at Virginia Tech, April 16th of 2007. There was a freshman young lady from Shawnee, Oklahoma, and she had left a very powerful statement of her faith on her personal website. She was one of the ladies that lost her life that day. And this 20-year-old had written this statement, the purpose and love of my life is Jesus Christ. I don't have to argue religion, philosophy, or historical evidence because I know him. You know why God leads us to Mount Moriah? So that we'll know him. That's why. So that we'll know him. Abraham's faith to follow God enabled him to see the mighty hand of God at work. And the Bible said in verse 14 as I close, and Abraham called on the name, or called the name of that place, Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, I mean, that name stuck. What's it mean, Abraham? In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. What an amazing journey of faith. The Lord provided for Abraham. And may I say, He's provided for us as well. None of us like taking that journey. That journey to Mount Moriah. But God brings us there and leads us there to prove Himself to us so that we, as Lauren McCain, can say, I know Him. Let's bow our heads. How is it with you? Have you made that journey? Well, let me say tonight, if you haven't, you will sometime. That journey, that call of testing, that call of sacrifice and service. What's our response been, or what will our response be? Immediate obedience was what Abraham did. He didn't debate it. He didn't question it. He rose up early in the morning and obeyed immediately. May I say tonight, that's what God desires of us. He desires immediate obedience. Not questioning His leading, just being willing to follow. You say, I just don't know. Well, I know this. There's never been a journey taken to Mount Moriah that God hasn't come through. I'm certain of that. Oh, it's a difficult journey. This wasn't easy on Abraham or his son. They had to bear the wood and the fire and the knife. And Abraham was bearing the load of knowing what was going to happen. By the way, that load was much greater than the load they were carrying. But God proved Himself. And as this young lady who made that statement in 2007, I know Him. The only way we get to know Him in that way is for Him to lead us on that journey of faith. I don't know what's in your heart tonight, but I know this. He's able to provide if we just trust Him. May God help us this evening to learn the lessons from this journey of faith to Mount Moriah.